Time for another Grace to You audio blog. Check out what John MacArthur has to say, then keep listening for details on how to get into the online discussion.
Evangelicalism is in a desperate situation, and that desperation is made manifest by its inability to distinguish who is a true Christian. We have abandoned any clear understanding of what it means to really be saved. We, in the sense of broad evangelicalism. Those of us who teach the Bible, those of us who uphold sound doctrine, have to rise up and speak the truth. Through the years, we have all become influenced by Billy Graham. One way or another, he has, for us, been the spokesman for evangelical Christianity. He has become the symbol of gospel preachers to the world and even to the church. He, more than anyone else, has influenced evangelicalism through his preaching, through his cooperative evangelism, through his influence on Wheaton College, Fuller Seminary, Christianity Today, and many other agencies. There is an article in a journal that comments and reviews his autobiography, Just As I Am. And I think it's worth giving you some insight into that because I think it points out the breadth of this problem. The editor of the journal says, "While Graham has become the very symbol of gentle, compassionate, and loving evangelicalism, he has also become the symbol for an evangelicalism that speaks cautiously, politically, and non-theologically. He was never able to escape the fuzzy, theological pragmatism of modern evangelicalism. It is Billy Graham, more than any other figure in this century, who helped to create, by his overwhelming persona, the present evangelical crisis which threatens to destroy the very institutions and causes in which Graham invested his life and energy for over 55 years," end quote. That is a sad statement, but it is an appropriate one in view of the facts. A recent public interview with Billy Graham and Robert Shuler underscores this. Graham has uncritically praised Shuler's ministry, which is a ministry of what is called neo-orthodoxy combined with psychology, not a true historic Christianity. But in the discussion, and here it is verbatim, I'll just share some things that will open to you the understanding. Dr. Shuler speaks, speaking to Billy Graham, "Tell me, what is the future of Christianity?" Dr. Graham, "Well, Christianity and being a true believer, you know, I think there's the body of Christ, which comes from all the Christian groups around the world or outside the Christian groups. I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And I don't think that we're going to see a great sweeping revival that will turn the whole world to Christ at any time." Now, let me stop there. He said that non-Christian groups are members of the body of Christ, that people can love Christ and know Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, and be members of the body of Christ. And therefore, we're not going to see a sweeping revival that will turn the whole world to Christ at any time, ostensibly because it isn't necessary. He goes on to say, "What God is doing today is calling people out of the world for His name, whether they come from the Muslim world, or the Buddhist world, or the Christian world, or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not," he says, "even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts that they need something that they don't have. And they turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved, and they're going to be with us in heaven." Dr. Shuler, "What I hear you saying is that it's possible for Jesus Christ to come into a human heart and soul and life, even if they've been born in darkness and have never had exposure to the Bible. Is that a correct interpretation of what you're saying?" Dr. Graham, "Yes, it is, because I believe that. I've met people in various parts of the world in tribal situations that they have never seen a Bible or heard about a Bible, have never heard of Jesus, but they've believed in their hearts that there is a God, and they tried to live a life that was quite apart from the surrounding community in which they lived. Dr. Schuller, this is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy. Dr. Graham, there is. There definitely is. In response to that interview, the editor of this journal wrote to the Billy Graham organization, received a reply that said Dr. Graham's views were the same as they have always been. Apparently, his views have always been that Muslims are part of the body of Christ, Buddhists are part of the body of Christ, non-believers are part of the body of Christ, people who never heard of a Bible are part of the body of Christ if they're trying to be better than the people around them. People who never heard of Jesus are part of the body of Christ. It's an almost inconceivable contradiction that a man who believes that could raise millions and millions and millions of dollars as an evangelist to gather people all over the world into large stadiums and tell them they need to believe in Jesus Christ, to passionately preach to them the gospel, to speak to them of the judgment of God, to call them to faith in the Savior who died and rose again and warn them of judgment if they fail to believe. What kind of schizophrenia is that? It's little wonder that they can embrace Roman Catholics and Greek Orthodox and theological liberals who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Any wonder that he can say on Larry King, he has no problems with Mormons, he has no problem with the Jews that reject Jesus? What is going on here? And I'm not talking about somebody without influence, I'm talking about a pervasively influential person. That's why you can go onto a Christian college campus today and you will find some professors who believe the Word of God and some who don't. You go to a seminary and find some who believe in the truth of God and the gospel and some who want to include everybody. This kind of evangelicalism pervades today, and it's being systematically developed and spread. And people are reluctant to call it what it is because you're viewed as unloving. Now, I have to ask the question, is the gospel that unclear? Is it that fuzzy? Is it that hard to understand the gospel? Is the New Testament not clear on the subject? Does it not give us enough light to know who is a Christian and what it means to be in the body of Christ and what is necessary to go to heaven? I mean, doesn't the Bible say go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Doesn't the Bible say that if anybody doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, he's cursed? Doesn't the Bible say that salvation is by faith and faith comes by hearing the Word of God and hearing the Word about Christ? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are they going to have a preacher unless somebody goes? Are we really supposed to call all the missionaries home? Are we really supposed to stop evangelizing because anybody anywhere who thinks good thoughts about God and tries to be a little different than his society is going to be in heaven? We're cutting the heart out of the church here and out of our ministry. If the New Testament, on the other hand, does settle the issue, then we have no right to ignore the New Testament. We have no right to redefine it on our own terms in order to be popular, in order to be accepted. True and historic Christianity has never been confused about what it means to be a Christian. Never. True and historic Christianity has always known that the New Testament is crystal clear on this issue. The New Testament tells us everything we need to know, so as to be unmistakably certain as to what it is that a person must believe to be saved. There is no lack of information in order to discern. There is no lack of information, truth, in order to distinguish between true and false, nominal and real Christians. How can there be so much confusion about who's a Christian? Christians have been delivered from error to truth. They've come to the full understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. From sin to righteousness, they live in obedience to the Word of God as a practice, and they have been delivered from this present evil age, this system of Satan, into the eternal kingdom. Their affections are heavenly, their desire is for that which is eternal, and not for the passing things of this world. This is God's truth, and this must be proclaimed, that He may be glorified and people may come to true salvation and to the praise of God for that gift.
Now that you've heard from John, let us know what you think. Go to gty.org/audioblog and leave your comment. Again, that's gty.org/audioblog. Thanks for listening.